The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts, a 6th event podcast, video event one-shots, and an additional video D&D campaign. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows and vote on the way their stories will progress. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dum Dums and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome to One Shots, a Dumb Dumbs and Dice podcast where professional voiceover actors and improvisers tackle one-shot stories created in a variety of hit RPGs. I'm your host, DJ One Shot, and I'm here to welcome you to the second session of Star Trek Adventures. This arc features our GM, Tom McGee, Ryan LaPlante as Security Officer Spork, Tyler Hewitt as Dr. Bartosz Karai, Laura Elizabeth as Engineer Emery Tor, and the mysterious Kristen as Science Officer Emily Cobalt. The away team survived the journey through the anomaly and have found themselves in the future under the command of the traitorous Admiral Sims. What'll befall the crew of the newly christened USS Redundancy? Nobody knows, cause it's one shot! Star Trek Edition.
Right, Captain's log, stardate 48573.1. Oh, God, I didn't think I'd ever have to record one of these again. This is Captain Anders of the newly rechristened USS Redundancy. I find myself, against my better wishes and better judgment, as the captain of what formerly known as the USS Moonhammer once again. Despite my rather storied history that you can find in various Starfleet logs, I have been granted an opportunity at redemption with the very same people that I failed before. We are currently berthed on Narandar Station. The ship has taken heavy damage coming through whatever space anomaly brought my former crew forward into the future with them. And currently, we have been authorized by my old nemesis, Admiral Sims, to fix the ship up before we can accept any further missions. Given that it has been some years since I've set foot upon this ship, I have authorized my crew to make any upgrades they see fit, after which I will review their choices and decide appropriately, because I will show leadership and determination, like a good Starfleet captain should. Oh god, I'm a Starfleet captain again. End log. So, having successfully returned to Narendra Station, the ship is again in horrible disrepair based on everything that's just happened to it. Admiral Sims, even though he still has a huge grudge and a chip on his shoulder, has agreed, given the state of the redundancy, to some upgrades. You're getting a free warp core because obviously the ship can't function without that, and he's a dick, but he's not a stupid dick. so he's agreed to give you a new warp core, so that's great. You'll remember that the main damage the ship has incurred, your sick bay is gone. You overloaded your weapons, so right now they're going to count as being breached. Your computer is old. You're down one shuttle because of the one that you lost on the away team mission. One of your helm stations has exploded, and I'm going to say your replicators are offline. So those are kind of the big damages to the ship right now. The way that'll work in game terms is some of those won't provide huge disadvantages, but all of them will affect the traits and features of various combats until you can get them fixed. So, essentially, the way that ship creation works in this game is similar to creating a character. So we already know that we're on a Miranda-class ship, and so you can think of that. That's the space frame. You can think of that kind of as the race of the character if you want.
Okay.
So in the same way you might pick Vulcan or Klingon, Miranda-class is our race for the ship. We also have certain departments. So we've decided that a redundancy is going to be a generalist ship, which I think makes a lot of sense. The Miranda-class was built for that, and particularly because you guys are redundant, they wouldn't specialize you as any one ship. As we go along, you can alter those stats, and we can tool that up. So those are your major issues. The redundancy has a number of talents. As a Miranda-class starship, it has extensive shuttle bays, which means you can hold a lot of shuttles. Right now, you only have the one.
How many is a lot?
I'm going to say up to four.
Excellent.
It is a Federation starship, which will mostly count towards certain checks. It's a legacy vessel because the USS Moonhammer has a long and storied history in this timeline that you are mostly unaware of so far. It's old, given that the ship is from sort of the original series timeline. It means that some of your technology won't necessarily work as well or as effectively as it might otherwise. Also, you're redundant, so I'm going to say every time you guys attempt something that I deem suicidally interesting enough to justify it, you might get bonuses from that. So, essentially, the ship's been around for a long time. Usually the way this works is you pick a service date for the ship to come into action, and every chunk of years, I think it's 10 years, I could be mistaken, you get a refit. So basically the idea being that you're constantly upgrading ships with new stuff. We didn't see this too much in the actual series until we hit Voyager, but it's that sort of idea. So Sims has given you two refits, which basically in sort of standard role-playing sense are stat upgrades. So you're going to be able to bump two systems up by 1 point each. You're also going to be able to pick two new attributes for the ship, which fall under talents. So that's kind of where we're at with the ship. Narendra Station is a research outpost. It's a very important station. It was named for a huge massacre that actually solidified the alliance between the Klingons and Starfleet. It's where the Enterprise C was destroyed in this battle. It was like a very famous point in Federation history. But because the captain flew the Enterprise in and fought in that battle, the Klingons witnessed huge valor and also the sacrifice that Starfleet was willing to make in order to kind of protect their colonists, and as a result, forged the alliance. So this ship has been this station has been named in honor of it. It's right on the edge of the Shackleton Expanse, which is a huge part of space that is generally very volatile in terms of space-going phenomenon, and as a result, is very unexplored. As a sort of side note about the RPG setting in general, the Shackleton Expanse is where a lot of Star Trek Adventures living campaign takes place. Mm. So that's kind of the corner we're going to be playing in. The station itself is a collaboration between Klingons and Starfleet. As I mentioned when you first arrived, this is kind of new and interesting for you. The Klingon Cold War was in full effect during your time, and as a result, you'd certainly met Klingons, but to just see them casually walking around would be as strange in modern terms as when the Berlin Wall fell and suddenly, you know, East Germans and West Germans were just hanging out together, or when the USSR fell and suddenly Russians were just around. So it's an exciting new station for you. Also berthed right now in at Narandra Station is a Klingon warship, the IKS Mupol, which is a Kavort class bird of prey. It's getting some upgrades, mostly to sensors, and Sims has authorized the same sensor upgrade technology to be applied to the redundancy since the crews are already working on it. So essentially, what I'm going to allow you guys to do now is figure out what sort of upgrades you want to put on the redundancy. It's a strange new world. Technology is much better here in the future, so there's some kind of exciting stuff. So I will turn it over to Emery Tor, and you can talk through. You get two new upgrades, so she'll walk you through what you can pick.
We must return back to the fray. I would suggest a top five list of upgrades we can achieve in our time on this station, Lieutenant Tor.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so one I'm throwing out there is rugged design. So basically, it's a durable construction, easy access to critical systems. We can make repairs easily. So it reduces the difficulty of all tasks to repair the ship by one.
We might need to do a bit of repairs on this ship.
Everything is broken.
That's true.
We should repair everything.
Not the least of which is your captain. Perhaps the most broken element of all.
I'll be seeing to that.
The captain may be irreparable. Let's focus on systems.
We've got a top-notch warp drive, so we don't need that. Secondary reactors?
What is this pad you are holding? I have only seen computer screens built into consoles up to this point.
So, Tor, at the end of our last session, you mentioned that you were accessing Memory Bank Alpha. So I think, generally speaking, any next-gen style technology that exists, right, you can probably provide an explanation of. So why don't you fill in Spork on your new delightful tablet tech?
It's a data pad. So you know how like we could only access data at like a terminal before?
Yes, that was inefficient.
Well, now it's on this like little cool, like, book size thing.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Where do I requisition one?
I think we got some, probably a couple extra ones about in engineering.
Then I shall claim yours after this meeting. Continue.
Well, no, you won't, but I'll get you another one. good try, Spork.
Acceptable.
So, while this is happening, Cobalt, you're just very quietly, like, pulling out your communicator and just requisitioning these things to be brought up. And by the time they're done, like, bickering back and forth, someone just shows up with a stack of data pads and just, like, passes them out. It's definitely, like, a Wesley Crusher level, like, excitable Starfleet junior officer who kind of looks in awe, but also gentle confusion at all of your like really outdated costumes, and it's like, here are your pads.
I take two.
No, I'm sorry. Emery will distribute the data pads.
Acceptable.
You get one for now, Spork.
Acceptable has already been stated. We are wasting time. Move on.
Yeah, all right. How about improved reaction control systems? So it basically gives us better maneuvering. Anyone?
I don't
Tempting.
Know.
Okay.
I mean, could have been pretty useful in that last battle.
Considering how many holes have been placed in the ship, moving out of the way of fire may be an intelligent decision.
Ooh, improved hull integrity?
Oh, yeah, we're going to need that.
Advanced shields?
Is there anything for reinforcing the helmsman's console?
Does this list include repairs, or are these upgrades to our systems?
So I'm going to throw out, just for mechanics' sake, you'll be able to make do with all these tasks. But for example, if you don't have a med bay, that's going to affect the it's going to change the traits applied to any challenges based around med bays. Right now, everything is functional enough. You have a doctor, so medical stuff can still happen. You just don't have an extensive med bay right now because it exploded. So, yes, think of them both as repairs and attributes. So less as what are our ideal upgrades, and more so what do we need to make the ship functional now?
So is there anyone assisting us with this?
You'll have a full... So there's a team of engineers on board Narendra that will be helping you and helping do the upgrades. They are being run kind of thin by working on both the Klingon vessel and yours, but yeah, they'll be helping to install all of this. Great. Yeah, you guys don't need to just like do the Chewbacca thing where you're just like up there with a little blowtorch being like, ugh. Like, 10 years later, we've finally gotten to space.
Well, do we want an advanced sick bay? Since we have none. I mean,
one of us might.
Medical is a high priority. However, would it make sense to select a rugged design where we could perhaps enact some of our own repairs and combine that with advanced shields, considering ours were stripped with a single blast?
If we get blown up because our shields suck, I don't think an advanced med bay is going to help us.
I'll give you one other option that isn't in there.
It's a shielded med bay.
You can split, it's a shielded med bay that just generates new Starfleet members.
And I strongly advocate for the shielded med bay.
And it has guns. And the guns shoot tiny Enterprises.
Excellent.
That then shoot other guns.
Yeah.
It is
and then the dogs have bees in their mouth and they bark, the bees come out.
It's a self-reproducing weapon cycle.
I think it's called the Genesis device. Okay, so here's what I'll do. The other thing I can offer you is I'll let you skip one upgrade to repair two pieces.
Ooh.
So this is out of character right now. I'm just asking. So that would leave us with one upgrade and two repairs to be done?
Two repairs, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think we need to repair our helm if we want to go anywhere.
Technically, only one console has exploded. We have still managed to divert power. I would suggest upgrading to advanced shields and repairing both our weapons and our med bay. It would give us the strongest tactical position moving forwards.
So I just pull one of the engineers aside and go, did they fix those exploding stations, in the future?
And she just laughs and laughs and laughs. She says, what are you going to expect next? Seatbelts? And then she kind of like goes off down there. She's like, hey, did you hear that lady? Yeah, she's asking about exploding consoles. You can't
stop
that.
Sounds like we can
expect
seatbelts.
Clearly,
the Federation. Sounds like they're just around the corner.
I agree with Dr. Karai. It makes a lot of sense. I'm glad Starfleet has made reasonable precautions when it comes to seatbelts, as they are called.
Meanwhile, the Klingon vessel is like, well, why are you installing these seatbelts? And, like, cutting them out, throwing them in a pile. It's the entire stock of seatbelts for the station.
This level of precaution is not honorable.
There is no honor in seatbelts.
Okay, I think we...
Okay, so advanced shields?
Yeah.
And then repair weapons?
And I would suggest the med bay.
And the med bay.
I feel like people are going to get hurt.
I think we need a medical facility. I am in complete agreement.
It does sound
like
my hands might get full. So I would appreciate the med bay.
Yeah.
None of us know the competency of Captain Anders.
Well, to be frank, I'm pretty competent for planned and scheduled appointments and surgeries and things like that. It's more like triage on the fly and things like that, where a facility would be much, muchly appreciated.
You all briefly flash back to Anders being just fucking blasted apart on the bridge and
so wiping the seat clean. Yeah. Squeak, squeak.
Well, in the case of Anders' previous death, the medbay would serve no purpose. Perhaps we should get a second shuttle.
Spork just wants shuttles. You just want a whole fleet of shuttles.
Sorry, I guess what I should have clarified. Everyone else was thinking about Anders exploding, and Spork was just thinking about how much more efficient two shuttles would be. Do twice as many runs.
We could convert one of the shuttles into a med bay.
Well, there you go. There's your shielded med bay with guns. Just a shuttle.
Do we have transporters?
I don't want to be jettisoned.
Yes, you do have transporters.
We got transporters.
We do not require a second shuttle. Let's continue with the med bay. Also, make a note for the future. The doctor is Frank.
My name is Bartosz.
But you just told us to be Frank. You are now Frank.
Sure, Spork, I'm Frank, but you can call me Dr. Bart.
I believe in using proper titles. Thank you, Dr. Frank.
Where's Khan when you need him? Thin the ranks a bit.
On the bridge.
Excellent. Okay, guys, is that a reference?
I'm secretly dealing with my own identity crises here, so yeah, I'm just like, whatever.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
So you're going with...
Advanced shields.
All right, so if you could note that on the redundancy sheet, everybody.
Ship's maximum shields are increased by 5.
Ooh.
And which two stats do you want to bump from your refits?
For the benefit of the tactical station, I would speak for both sensors and weapons receiving an upgrade.
Also, the max on any system is 12. So you're nowhere near any of that, because you've got engines 8, computers 8, weapons 9, structure 8, sensors 9, and communications 8.
Perhaps if we speak with Admiral Sims, he will allow us to upgrade all of the systems to 12.
I don't think Sims is going to be open.
No, I want to see him try. You should go talk to him.
I will do this perhaps later. Let's make a minimalist choice now for efficiency.
Okay. Well, I think...
I know I show strong leadership potential, but a leader is only as strong as his challengers. I look forward to your ideas.
Right, I agree with the weapons, but we've got some pretty cool technology now. I think we should take advantage of it and, you know, upgrade that computer.
How about that med bay, guys?
The med bay has already been agreed upon.
Yeah, we finished
well,
that.
Yeah. We carry on then.
What about our engines?
They're 8.
Don't we want to get places faster? More efficiently?
Yeah, do we?
Would it help us run? Run from battles?
We will not need to. We will achieve victory in every conflict.
Will we?
Yes.
Okay. So you know that for a fact?
Yes.
You can see into the future?
No, that would be insane.
So how do you know?
I am the most capable of any foe we will meet.
But how do you know? Sir, I've never met a Vulcan like you. I'm fascinated.
I read and study compulsively. I've carried out thousands of tactical scenarios. I'm carrying out 5 right now. In all of them, lose.
Did you see the scenario?
Can I read his mind?
You're the telepath.
He just visualized crushing my trachea with a data pad.
That was one of your tactical scenarios.
If the doctor turned against us, yes. You were in charge in that scenario. You betrayed the Federation and corrupted Dr. Frank.
Oh my God.
Do you want to go through the rest of these scenarios? All of them will make you sad.
I don't. I really don't.
No, I think we're good. I think we're going to go with...
All right. More questions later.
In all scenarios, the doctor dies first.
Yeah.
I'm seeing that. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Spork.
Oh, great. That'll be a good help to the rest of us. Thanks, Spork.
I would recommend computers as the GM.
I also, coming back to the conversation, as a medical professional, would second Lieutenant Cobalt's suggestion that we upgrade the computers. It would be a huge boon to my medical research and looking into diagnosing unknown and new diseases and ailments.
If it increases survivability of the crew, I would second this motion.
Question. Do we really need to ask Anders? Like, we're all pretty smart. I think we make the decision, right?
He is a captain. Just go for it. No.
He has left us to make these decisions on our own. As such, checking in with him would be unnecessary.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Hey, we're the Looters.
Hey, what's up?
Looters is a sci-fi western actual play podcast using the Stars Without Number system.
We're a group of friends getting into trouble all over the universe.
So come with us if you're into adventure.
A rocket flies out of one of these ships far behind you and crashes into the wall and blows up.
There's rockets?
It's Mario Kart.
Crazy.
Intrigue.
Can I hack into the body and maybe see if they have, like, a memory data bank in their brain or some shit like that that I can access?
That'll literally.
Devastating physical injury.
Just take cover.
Okay. She's a good pilot, everyone. She's very good.
And friendship.
Aww. New episodes of Looters out every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everyone. This is Tyler Hewitt, just coming at you with a little special offer for you. You know, if you're a fan of what we're doing here on the show, then we have, to borrow a phrase from Jerry Holkins, a patron-oriented experience tailored just for you. If you go to
patreon.com/dumdumdice,
you can sign up and get a bunch of special features that we're not really going to make available to anyone else, so do that now. Well, not right now, but, you know.
Computers it is, everyone.
Agreed.
Cut to Anders' ready room where he's sitting there drinking a bottle of Klingon blood wine, and he's just like, oh, I really hope they upgrade engines and structure. That would have made all the difference in the past. And then he takes a drink and just stares at all of Captain Grantham's stuff that's still in the captain's ready room and begins to cry. Cut back to you guys in the hallway. So you give your upgrade instructions to the engineering and they begin to work on it.
So we did weapons?
You decided to fix your weapons. Basically, you decided to bandage solution your weapons and med bay and upgrade your shields.
No, but we were saying of the systems, we got to boost two.
Yes.
Weapons and computers.
Yeah, weapons and computers. Yeah, sorry.
I didn't realize there was a vote on weapons, but okay.
Sometimes the most effective victory is in a battle the other side is not aware they are fighting.
Because they're dead?
Or unaware there is a battle.
No, I was the person they were fighting in this instance.
Okay.
Thanks, Bork. Gotcha.
Great. So you sent the engineering team to work. The major sites on this is going to take about a week to get your ship back up and running, as well as to install these new sensors. So the engineering bay is run by a Bajoran named Mindar. So Mindar is a very effective engineer, but you can tell that her crew is generally overworked. They've been called in to kind of work double duty. It seems that there's going to be a convoy heading out into the Shackleton Expanse shortly that the Klingons are going to be escorting. And she kind of, like, looks at your ship and realizes that you're the only Federation vessel currently docked and is like, it'll probably be you guys as well. So she's got her teams working sort of triple shifts to try and get both these ships up and running. But she mentions to you, Emery, because I assume you're the one who went to talk to engineering about what you needed.
Mm-hmm.
She mentions that Captain Akul of the Bhopal is really driving. He's a huge taskmaster. He's the captain of the Klingon vessel, and just he keeps second guessing the crews. He's just making them everything he wants done now. So she kind of asks you. She's like, "Look, I know you guys have been through a lot, but we could really use a hand if you have anyone you can spare who knows anything at all about ship's technology."
Actually, we've got someone I think who would be really useful. So, give him the benefit of the doubt, all right?
Honestly,
that's all I'm going to say.
At this point, I will literally take anyone, and there's no way I could ever regret saying that.
Okay. Hey, Bing Bong!
Misa here!
I regret this immediately.
Honestly, he's great.
Misa gonna do so good!
Wait, is he a Nug?
Oh, you know!
Oh, I have seen wonderful things come out of the Nug Institute of Engineering Technology. It's founded by this amazing, amazing heroic Nug named Bing Bong.
Ooh!
He's done wonderful things. He's advanced our understanding of warp technology in ways none of us could understand.
Ooh, Misa make a knit.
Great.
Always wanted knit.
All right, yeah, that's fantastic. I don't understand what you're saying, but that's okay.
NIT, the Nug Institute.
Oh, I am so sorry, sir.
He's a dream like that.
Yeah, well, maybe one day if you're as smart and articulate as Bing Bong, you'll be able to as well. Honestly, I heard he was actually the commencement speaker at my commencement. I've never heard someone so articulate and clear spoken.
He sounded like a nicer guy. Me bring switch wall?
Sure, yeah, you can bring your switch wall. I know how much you Nugs love your switch walls.
Oh, good.
She brings you in. She's like, you can bring your own, but just so you know, out of respect for Bing Bong the Great, we've installed one of these just kind of in his honor. It's mostly ceremonial, but if you want to use it.
Oh!
I mean, it's not quite up to your standards, Bing Bong, but like, it's pretty close. It's not bad for just kind of a layman's switch wall.
Nice. They have one on a Klingon ship, too.
she kind of like looks to her crew, looks at you, and then she kind of like mischievously smiles, and she's like, not yet.
Me's gonna do so good.
So Bing Bong goes to work on helping install things on both vessels. We'll check in with the Klingons in a little bit and see how that worked out for them. Great. So you guys have a week that you can spend just on board Narendra Station. You get the sense this is probably going to be your main port of call for the next little while. So you've been assigned quarters that are yours. They're very, very basic, but they are yours. So that's kind of nice. In your quarters, you find a change of clothes. So you've got slightly more modern Trek outfits. You're given obviously your data pads as well as modern communicators. Your phasers are the same because Sims didn't bother to requisition new ones. He imagines yours are probably fine. As you wander around the station, there are sort of five major areas that you can play in. There's the engineering bay, the five major areas on the station. There's the engineering bay, which is currently where the Mupal and the redundancy are being retrofitted. There's Starfleet Ops, so that's kind of Starfleet's command on board the station. That's where you went to speak to Sims. You know that the administrative liaison there is Jayla Carr, who is a human who basically speaks on behalf of the Federation. Sims isn't always there. He's not stationed regularly on board here. He just happened to be when you arrived. There's also Klingon Ops, which your data pads tell you is the Imperial liaison for the Klingon Empire. Is Lokthar. And finally, there are the science labs. This is obviously a research station, so that being the case, Dr. Lam is the Federation head of research who oversees operations from there. And last, but certainly not least, because everybody needs to unwind, there's Garvo's, with an exclamation mark, which is the station bar, which was founded by a Ferengi named Garvo Undayo.
God damn.
I mean, I don't know what you're talking about, Tom. So those are the locations you've got. You've got, again, a week to kind of do whatever you want. So just let me know what you think your character would do over this spell of time, and I'll let you know what's what.
I think I know what Dr. Bart would want to do. He'd probably want to do two things. Learn about his life up to this point in the alternate timeline, because apparently he's not around anymore. And also, just looking at my focuses of counseling and composure, I would probably want to pay a visit to Captain Anders and make sure that he is like, give him sort of like a mental equivalent of a physical, and maybe just a straight up physical of like, I'm the ship's doctor, you're the ship's captain, let's make sure that you're in tip top shape.
Okay, which of those would you like to do first?
Probably speak to Anders. Because I bet speaking to Andrews is going to make me real depressed, and then I'm just going to want to look at how I died.
Great. Spork, what would you be up to?
I would immediately place a request with Captain Anders to assume the role of First Officer. After that, I would study as much of the Klingon ship's modern technology and warfare as I could in all of my down hours. And thirdly, in an attempt at subterfuge, I would approach Garvo Undayo and see if there was any way to smuggle or receive more equipment or greater upgrades within the system.
Cool. Elizabeth Cobalt, what would you be doing?
I think I would want to go have a drink at Garvo's. That'd be good. And maybe, I don't know, maybe go to the science lab or, Starfleet Ops, just to kind of see, you know, what happened to Earth and What happened to Starfleet? We've got a lot to catch up on.
Great.
I assume Cobalt went to the bar for the same reason I did, but I will never speak to her about it.
Emery Tor, what would you be up to?
So I'm going to go to a computer terminal and look up what happened, what's going on in Trill, and what's become of the Trill Symbiosis Commission, where they're at, and also look into where the other me is. Because, shit, I want to know.
Okay, so, Dr. Bart, you head to Anders' quarters on board the Narendra Station, largely because everyone's been ordered off of redundancy while it's being rebuilt. So you buzz Anders a few times, and he doesn't answer the first few. And then finally he kind of opens, you know, presses the door. You get that beautiful, like, Star Trek door like classic door chime.
Creak.
Yeah, that's it. Right? Okay. Yeah, that's the classic Star Trek door.
Yeah. Okay.
And he says, "Sorry, that's I've got that weird creaking noise I make now."
Oh, Jesus. He looks, I gotta lay this guy on a table.
So again, you remember the kind of like bright, heroic Anders who met his doom at the Helmsman panel. This man is clearly much older, he's had a bit of a rough run of things. You can tell he's a little bit worse for the wear. He's clearly been hitting the bottle pretty hard. Sort of 3 days worth of stubble, red eyes, clearly just woke up. He's like, "Oh, Dr. Bart, it's good to see you again."
"And it's good to see you, Anders."
And he kind
Captain
of,
Anders.
And he kind of, he's like, I guess we're doing that again. Then he kind of puts his hand on your shoulder and he's like, "No, but really, I've missed you. It's nice to see you after all these years." He says, come in. "Sorry about the state of the place." And he should be. It's a mess in there. you know, like generally Starfleet quarters are always shown as being like incredibly minimalist. Like
Stark.
Yeah, stark and just like clean. There's just no way to make one dirty. He found a way. Okay, like the sheets are in a mess. There's like a couple of rumpled uniforms, despite the fact that it's so fucking easy to clean your stuff in Star Trek land. He kind of like wanders over. He's got a fish tank. He kind of taps it. You don't have the heart to tell him the fish are dead. And
there's nothing I can do for them.
If only you'd upgraded that med bay. And he kind of like walks over to, he starts to go for the bottle and then he kind of looks at you and remembers you're a doctor. And instead he goes over to the replicator and he's like, "Coffee, black." And it pours him a coffee and he sort of offers you one.
"You know, caffeine is also a drug."
And he takes a good long swig. "How can I help you, doctor?"
"Well, actually, that's funny you should ask. I think the question is, how can I help you, Captain? We're about to embark on a new voyage on a newly christened ship, and you're our captain. Look, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but you don't look too jazzed about it."
Can you roll me an insight and medicine or command?
And that's 2, right?
Yeah, it's always 2 unless you add
2d20, and then you add those two numbers together and try and roll under it.
Right. That's all coming back to me now. Insight and, sorry, you said insight and medicine or command?
Either medicine or command.
Oh, well, okay. It's going to be 17 total with insight and medicine.
2 successes. So you gain 1 momentum because you got a requisite amount of successes. And you see Anders kind of, you can tell he really doesn't want to talk about this, but he also recognizes that as ship's doctor, he probably should. And you can also tell that, you know, there's something odd in the way he looks at you. That's the way that the Anders you knew would have. There's sort of that familiarity of, you know,
I can see like the young Anders in there.
But it's also I guess the best way to think of it is if a friend of yours, their dad looked exactly the same as they did.
Okay.
It's like you still have that rapport with him and you can tell that he knew your predecessor as well. Mm. So there's kind of a weird kinship, even though you just kind of re-met this guy. So he sits down and he kind of puts one head in his hand. He's like, "Well, I guess you haven't looked at the logs yet, but things didn't go so well for me when I took control of the Moonhammer."
"Honestly, it could have been worse."
"I don't think that's true. When Captain Grantham took the helm, I could have been on the helm, and what's perhaps worse is now that I see your ship, I know that in one version of the world I was the man that Captain Grantham thought I could be, and as a result, he lived and went on. I know he's disappeared, but hopefully we'll go on to do great things. Whereas in mine, my cowardice caused the greatest man I've ever known to die. And things didn't go well from there. I was stripped of the command of the Moonhammer shortly thereafter. Most of the crew wouldn't talk to me. Hell, I still blame myself for what happened with Cobalt. I'm sorry. Oh God!" He like puts his head in his hands and he kind of like hits his forehead a couple times. He's like, "Just look, you'd be doing me a huge favor if you just don't bring that up."
"I mean, all right,
great, yeah, doctor,
patient confidentiality. You got it, buddy."
He's like, "Well, in that case," he puts the coffee aside. He picks up the bottle. And he's like, "Yeah, who am I kidding?" But he's like, "You know, my career from there was bad. The captain of the Moonhammer went on to do great things. But me, I just fell from vessel to vessel until I ended up a captain without a ship, until you guys showed up. So, no, I'm not thrilled about it. I'm worried, and I look at all of you. You're all the happy, optimistic people I remember from my youth, not the ones
we're
all
young.
Became.
We're so young.
Yeah, I know. I'm
so
not.
Youthful compared to you.
Yes, I'm very old now. I mean, Starfleet technology keeps keeping me alive, and that sucks. And he takes a long drink.
Well, Captain Anders, let me tell you a little bit about my timeline. In my timeline, First Officer Anders leapt to the helm and took the con in place of the captain and gave his life for that captain and brought us here today and brought this ship through time by his sacrifice. And now as our timeline carries on, we meet you again. I think you are destined for greatness once again, sir. I think you are destined to be part of something miraculous.
Thank you. He kind of, again, he puts his hand on your shoulder and he's like, no one's had faith in me in a long time. And he kind of looks at the bottle and he puts it down. He picks the coffee back up and he's like,
that's a start.
One day at a time. Thank you, Doctor. I'll think about this.
All right, then.
I got to go consider this request from Spork to become First Officer. What are your thoughts on that, Doctor?
Don't.
Good old Dr. Bart. Straight to the point. Very frank.
Yeah, I'm getting that a lot now.
So he thanks you and kind of goes back to... He starts, tidying his place up a bit. You feel like you've accomplished something pretty good there.
Okay.
I'm going to give you 1 point of determination for dealing with the captain.
Is that in addition to the 1 point he gets for the new session? Or is
yes.
this where it's
yeah.
zero? Okay, so
yeah.
he's at two.
And also just from sort of a role play perspective, so all of you know how I'm going to be playing this, I've just changed Anders' values based on that conversation slightly. So
okay.
Since I'm playing a PC who is an NPC, if that makes any sense, I'll be altering him based on your decisions and how he's able to assist or hinder you over the course of the story will play out based on those sorts of things.
Mm.
Cool. Okay, so let's cut to Spork. Your request has been marked red, but has not been responded to as of yet. It's like on iMessenger. It's very frustrating.
What color does it turn when it's been responded to?
Well, it gets a little check mark next to it.
What a stupid joke.
So, Spork, you and Cobalt walk together in sort of companionable silence to Garvo's. Companionable because Cobalt thinks you're going to get a drink together and relax a bit. You because you think you're both on a clandestine mission to smuggle more supplies.
She is equally intelligent and as such will have the same plan for subterfuge.
Excellent. And Cobalt, how are you feeling about maybe getting a drink with Spork? I mean, you guys already seem to have a bit of a rapport going on from the away team mission. Is this like a get to know him a bit better or is it just a... are you just in it for your own drink?
I just need a drink.
Great. Fair enough. So you enter Garvo's. Garvo's is, he's clearly invested some money in trying to make it seem more exotic than it really is. The modern equivalent would be like a downtown Toronto tiki bar where, you know, you walk in and there's just like everything's bright and there's, you know, there's vines hanging from the ceiling and there's kind of flashing lights everywhere. There's some statues from around. All of them look fake, but it's a stark difference from the sort of cold clinical hallways everywhere else. So you walk in, you see a bunch of tables. There are a bunch of Klingons who are like well into their cups. You know from sort of Starfleet propaganda back in your time that a bored Klingon is a fighty Klingon. So you can see that they're all kind of getting shmammered, looking to start some shit. At the bar, you can see there's a sort of a tall, bald man in a Starfleet uniform who seems to flicker every few moments, who's pouring drinks and kind of making small talk. You don't see any Ferengi in the bar. Spork, what would you like to do?
I approach the flickering tall man and ask where Garvo is.
He says, oh, sorry, didn't see you there. Would you like a drink? And then he kind of flickered. He's like, oh, sorry, didn't see you there. Would you like a drink?
Is there anyone else located at this bar?
Nope, just me. Nope, just me.
I look around. Is anyone else seated at the bar in this room?
Yeah, there's a few people like sitting at the bar. There's the table full of Klingons. Over in the corner, you see some Starfleet officers doing that polite next-gen version of drinking where everyone just like sits there and like smiles at each other politely.
I approach the table of Starfleet officers. When I reach the table, I say, where can I find Garvo Undio?
And they say, is it Lieutenant currently?
Lieutenant Junior Grade.
Ah, yes.
Wow. Soon to be First Officer.
Fair enough, sir. We don't doubt it. This is very strange for us. Lieutenant Spork, it is a pleasure to meet you, sir. Garvo Undio's off station now. He should be back in the next few days.
Excellent. Where are his quarters located? Should I look for him in future?
The best place to find him is here. His quarters he's got quarters behind the bar. Honestly, he's here all the time unless he's off-world trying to find new trinkets to populate the bar with.
I return to where Cobalt is located and sit myself directly beside her, facing in the same direction, facing away from a wall, because only a fool faces a wall.
Speaking of Cobalt, you walk in, you see Spork immediately beeline it to the bar. What do you do?
I'm going to go up to the bar and... You know, Spork, what are you doing here? What were you saying to those officers?
I wink.
Cobalt, you get like a chill. It's not a pleasant chill. It's just this is a horrifying display.
I'm gonna leave you here. I'm gonna go sit down there and have a drink. Would you if you want to join me, that's fine. But if you don't, and you want to continue on whatever you're doing, that's cool too.
I wink. And follow her.
Oh my god! So, I'm terrified.
All right, so Cobalt, you make your way down the bar. You find some more comfortable seating, and the flickering bartender comes over and he says, "Hey, didn't see you there. Want a drink?"
Yeah. What are your specials today?
So he sort of slides over a data pad. You can see that much like a bar in downtown Toronto, the specials are really just regularly priced drinks, but a couple of them have been highlighted. It seems that there's certainly a lot of the drinks that you would have had back in your time. There's certainly more Klingon variety, also Cardassian beverages, which are kind of new to you. There's just a bunch of stuff.
Okay. Can you just surprise me with something?
Sure. Can do. And he goes and starts like mixing a drink behind the bar.
All right. Spork, do you want anything?
I would like access to that data pad.
What are you going to do with the data pad?
Cobalt, normally I would not say this aloud, knowing we are here for the same purpose. But due to the inefficiency of visual communication, I am forced to say this aloud. Excellent choice on this quiet corner. I need you to hack into this data pad and find us out everything you can about Garvo and Dio.
Hold on. Why?
We are being inadequately supplied due to the betrayal of Admiral Sims. As such, Garvo, being the most morally flexible character on this ship...
Is that racist?
It's not racist if it's accurate.
Jesus Christ.
That is possibly the most Vulcan thing I've ever heard.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. So, why do you think we're being undersupplied?
Because
what evidence do you have?
Admiral Sims said he would make us redundant and put us in situations until we die. We are not receiving a full upgrade, but at the same time they are doing equal or superior upgrades on a Klingon ship. They have stripped us of our own engineering crew to repair another ship while we are docked.
Is my drink ready?
Our Star Trek Adventures one-shot features our GM, Tom McGee, at McGeeTD on Twitter. Players Ryan LaPlante, at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter. Laura Elizabeth, at EL Hamstring on Twitter. Tyler Hewitt, at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter. And the mysterious Kristen, who don't need no help with Twitter traffic. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and all of Dum Dums and Dice's art is by Decapitated Markers, at Decapitated Marker, that's MRKR, on Twitter. This show's theme music is Gothic Trip with Thunder Horse by Damiano Baldoni, and our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R, all available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com, our Twitter and Instagram at dumdumdice, or on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. But most importantly, we've got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, or you could join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks for listening. Smash that subscribe button and show your love to One Shots. DJ One Shots out of here. Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, DM Rob, Christopher Little, Joshua White, Olin Anderson, Sue One, Devin Boyce, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Anthony Griffin, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.